Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Coming up a little later in the show, Mindy Hebert will be back to join us once again. Yes, it's true, she was here just a few weeks ago, but she's so gifted and so personable and so talented that we've invited her back. She'll be performing tonight at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan with Jeffrey Osborne and her band, the Bone Shakers. We'll talk more with Mindy in just a bit. Also coming up, iconic Chicago rocker and Grammy Award winner Jim Peterik will tell us all about the guitars that followed him home. But when we get back after your headlines, we're going to take it back to a simpler time, a time when life was, well, wonderful. A Wonderful Life, the musical, is coming to Theater at the Center in Munster, and we'll have one of the leads, Allison Sill, joining us after this. Welcome back to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Thank you so much for supporting public radio. Let's go back to a simpler time when life was truly wonderful. Joining me in just a few minutes will be actress Allison Sill. Well, you found me on the dial here at 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. And with the holidays upon us, the next 30 minutes or so will be focused on a classic holiday story. My guest will be a Chicago-based actress playing the lead in that story. So pull your chair a little closer to the fire, grab a cup of hot cocoa, and settle in, because I'm about to introduce you to a very gifted young lady, and we're going to talk about a special production going on right now in Northwest Indiana. Everyone knows that when a bell rings, an angel gets their wings. That's a lesson we all learned in the classic story of a small-town guy, George Bailey, in It's a Wonderful Life, which Frank Capra brought to life with the help of film legends like Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. It's also a story that teaches us just how important each of us are in the grand scheme of things, and how everyday deeds we may deem insignificant in reality can play a huge part on others' lives. That piece of music which opened up this segment of the show is the original title song, Heaven, by Dmitri Tomkin, from the 1946 Capra-directed holiday film. While most everyone knows the film, some may not realize that the story of George Bailey was wonderfully rebooted as It's a Wonderful Life, the musical. Theater at the Center at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster is now presenting a live stage version of It's a Wonderful Life, the musical, that's running now through December 23rd. Tickets are available at theateratthecenter.com. Joining me today for a few minutes to talk about that production is Allison Sill. She's the actress playing Mary Hatch Bailey, the dutiful, loving, and distressed wife of George Bailey, whose life, it turns out, is indeed quite wonderful. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Thanks for taking time to be on the program today. I know you guys are working really hard to get this production up, running, and continuing on for the next several weeks. So I appreciate that you're taking some time with us.
Oh, of course.
You know, there are lines drawn in two camps of fans when it comes to certain pop culture classics, say Star Wars and Star Trek, DC Comics and Marvel, and of course the Beatles and the Stones. At Christmas time, it seems to be a line in the sand between fans of It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story. I'm firmly in the George Bailey camp when it comes to that debate. Where are you?
Oh, I'm definitely in A Wonderful Life. I don't know A Christmas Story that well.
For some reason, I just don't connect with it as much as It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's an everyman story.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's nothing that kind of puts things into perspective than that movie, you know?
before we get too far into the current production, tell me a little about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I'm from Lake Zurich, northwest suburb of Chicago. Lived there all my life and then went to college in at Ball State University, and then I moved to Chicago, and I've been there ever since graduating.
Now, when you were at the university, did you study theatrical arts?
Mm-hmm, musical theater.
So this has been your dream a long time then?
Oh, yeah. I've been singing since I was just a little girl, just making up songs on my own.
Well, your resume shows a pretty extensive laundry list of productions that you've been a part of over the years. What made you want to become an actor?
I think it was honestly my teachers that I had. I mean, I really dove into musical theater in middle school. And I think it was my teachers in middle school and in high school that inspired me so much and gave me such an incredible experience growing up that I just fell in love with it. I think I've always been creative, and I've always loved music, and I've always been drawn to that. But I think they were the big reason. You know, I remember thinking about going into vocal performance, just doing opera, and my voice teacher in high school said, "No, I think you should try musical theater." And I might have not done it if she hadn't have said, "Yeah, you should do this. This is your thing." And I'm so glad that she did, because it really is.
Well, going from school to the professional level, when did you make that transition? When did you decide, this is what I want to do for a living?
Well, you know, I was doing a production of Urinetown in high school, and we got nominated to perform at Allstate, and it was at that Allstate performance in this production of Urinetown that I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do with my life. And then, yeah, that was kind of when I really decided I'm going to do this professionally.
Have you ever performed at theater at the center before?
Yeah, I did All Shook Up here a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago maybe. I played Miss Sandra.
Okay, so you know what a wonderful theater that is.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, it's just so great.
It's got enough seats, but not too many seats, so that you're always close to the actor no matter where you're at. And if my listeners have never been there, it's almost semicircle, so there's not a bad seat in the house. And, of course, the audio there is pristine. It's got great acoustics, great sight lines. I mean, everything you could want in a small theater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just, it's really wonderful. And you're so right on the, there really isn't a bad seat in the house. And the director, Bill Plinzi, does such a great job at making sure that everyone can see, you know, everyone on stage at all times.
Mm-hmm. Now, how difficult, let's get back into the show now. Now, how difficult is it as an actor to bring your own personal twist, your own fingerprints on a character that is so well established and imprinted in the public mind as Mary Bailey is because of the film and Donna Reed's portrayal of her?
Yeah, you know, that was something that I was playing around with. I found myself kind of copying her in the beginning because, you know, it's such an iconic movie, and people coming to see A Wonderful Life, they want to see A Wonderful Life, the one that they see on the film. And so I found myself doing that, and it wasn't coming across believable, and it wasn't coming across as personal as it could have been. And I think just allowing myself to know what Mary wants, what she's fighting for, I can bring myself to the role, and it comes across just as, you know, just as much as what it would be like if I were trying to, you know, be like what Donna Reed did. It comes across because I know what I want as the character.
Mm-hmm. In the opening of our chat today, I described Mary Bailey as dutiful, loving, and distressed. As someone who is entrusted to bring her life on stage, how do you see Mary as far as the intricacies of the character that you are maybe embellishing in some way that Donna didn't? So how are you making this character your own, and how do you see her in today's light?
Oh, yeah, I definitely see Mary as someone who greatly understands George, and I think she picks up on when things are wrong with him, and she chooses to make it good, keep it light, keep it grounded. And I think that Donna Reed brought this as well. I think Mary is this incredible grounded light in George's life that propels him forward, that keeps him going. And she finds a silver lining in situations that, you know, if she weren't there, George might not be able to find that silver lining.
Mm-hmm. She's a very strong character. A lot of people don't give her the credit as a character in that particular story that I think she deserves.
She's so strong and she's so smart. And I think that's what, you know, that's what I think she really knows how to handle George because she's just so smart.
Subtle but powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It seems that when one is in the audience watching these wonderful performances, that everything flows and moves so smoothly. But those of us involved in the arts and have covered the arts knows it takes an awful lot of hard work and a lot of hours to make that happen. How much rehearsal time has the cast for this production, A Wonderful Life, the musical, been invested in?
Oh, yeah. Well, with all these productions, they come together fairly quickly, and we have about 2 weeks of rehearsal, of true rehearsal, and then we've got about a week of, well, you know, a week that we're in the theater kind of figuring out tech and costumes. We really only have 3 days of tech, but then I think where the most learning comes into play is during previews, and those are shows for audiences that happen before opening night, which is when, you know, it's officially open and the show has, you know, the show isn't in rehearsals anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you sing a fair amount in this production. Obviously, it is a musical. How does it differ for those that have never seen the musical, that only know the film? How does it differ as far as you're not just throwing a song in the middle of it randomly and willy-nilly? What's the structure of the storyline? How does it differ?
How does it differ from...
from the movie, because now obviously we've got song and dance in there.
Yeah, so it's funny because I feel like Mary has several kind of soliloquies where she sings about what's going on in her head at that moment, and I think a couple of the songs aid to, you know, they add that, like, what is Mary thinking in that moment? It's like, okay, let's take a pause right now in what's happening, and let's see exactly what's going on in Mary's mind. And that happens in the first scene when she sings about, you know, right before they make a wish, right before they throw the rocks at the old Granville house,
mm-hmm.
she sings about what her wish would be, which is, you know, for George to love her, for her to get married to him, and she gets kind of carried away in that. That's called If I Had a Wish.
If I had a wish, one wish, one guaranteed gilt edge wish, I might just wish for wisdom, or maybe instant wealth, constant health, or to be overnight a second Frank Lloyd Wright. I might, but then again, if I had a wish, one wish, one money back airtight wish, I'd use my wish to...
Yes?
Ah, you're right. Wishes should be kept secret. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll get us a couple of stones. You decide what to wish for, okay?
Okay. What I want to wish for, says he, I don't have to think twice. And if the legend's true, then I'm a stone's throw from paradise. If I had a wish, one bona fide, foolproof wish, I'd wish for him to love me. Why wish for instant wealth, constant health, a career in the arts, when in my heart of hearts I've known for years and years, if I had a wish, one certified surefire wish, my wish could only be as much as I love him, let him love me, let him hold me tonight and still want me tomorrow. Let me be the kind of girl he'll want to marry. That's an awfully heavy load for one frail wish to carry. Let me start again. If I had a wish, one certified surefire wish, my wish could only be as much as I love him. Let him love me.
That's called If I Had a Wish. And then she sings a song right after the famous phone call scene. Do you remember in the phone call scene between her and George where Sam is on the phone and it's right before George says, I don't want any plastics, I don't want to get tied down, I want to do what I want to do, and they end up kissing. And It's right after that scene. And she sings a song called Not What I Expected. And it's basically talking about being with George is completely not what she expected, but what she's completely wanted this entire time. You know, they hit it off so well at that high school dance, and then she went away to college, and George stayed at home and worked his father's business, and then she comes back from college 4 years later, and she has had boyfriends. She just broke up with Sam Wainwright, and George ends up kissing her by the end of the scene, and it takes her by surprise, but deep down, this is just something that she's always hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable to her.
Not what I expected, not by a long shot, not what I expected. He's not, I'm not. Suddenly my head is spinning. And what seemed over and done is just beginning. Much as he excites me, much as I want him, these hairpin turns take my breath away. So I'll just have to go slow and take it day by day. Portrait in my heart. Now I see I've made it much too sweet. Not enough purple, not enough black, not enough midnight blue to be complete. Am I disappointed? Not by a long shot, although he's not what I bargained for. Yes, he's a little bit less, but oh, he's so much more. Yes, he's a little bit less, but oh, he's so much more.
Not what I expected. Me with my straight A's, never moving forward, always sideways. Now I feel a door is closing. I'm getting hitched and I don't recall proposing. If someone should ask me why,
mentioned the high school dance scene, and of course one of the classic scenes in that movie is when the floor opens and they all fall in the pool. How do you recreate that on a stage?
Well, they did not write that into this show, but we actually are doing, there's a really phenomenal Charleston dance number. So they're singing the Charleston dance number. The pool is cut, I think, just because of technical, because we can't put a pool on stage.
Right.
But, yeah.
Allison, what's the title of that song?
It's actually called In a State. It's Sam Wainwright is singing at the dance, and everyone is singing about the Charleston, and it's like this dance competition that they have that goes on. And yeah, that's what that title is of that song.
Bringing a stage production to life has as much to do, as you know, with the chemistry of the ensemble as it does with the individual talents, as it does with the director. It's all the pieces of the puzzle. That said, tell me a little bit about your castmates. Have you worked with any of them in the past? And what are you discovering about them, especially George?
Oh, yeah. I have. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny because David and I worked together in All Shook Up. And in All Shook Up, Miss Sandra really did not like Chad, that was who he was playing. She really did not like him. So it's funny because, and he liked her. He was chasing after her. It's funny because, and now in this show, I told David before we started, I was like, oh, we get to love each other. So it's been really nice discovering that with him. And like anyone that you play opposite with, you discover chemistry throughout the rehearsal process. You know, you learn about each other and you find what works for each person, and that's been really wonderful to kind of discover this with each other and kind of figure out, like, oh, I see this way, and I see this way, and oh, that makes sense because George and Mary think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been really a cool experience, and everyone in the ensemble, and I mean, I just love this cast so much. It's just, I'm really excited to be with them during the holidays.
How big of a cast is it?
Oh, goodness. I, off the top of my head, I could not tell you. I feel like it's got to be maybe like 17 people.
Okay. That's a good size cast.
That's a guess. That's a complete guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the great scenes in the film is when they're walking, the garden walk, and George promises Mary the moon. He has no self-confidence in himself, and life is not going the way he planned it, but he loves this girl. He's going to promise her the moon. It's got to be one of the greatest profession of love scenes ever filmed. The poor guy's wearing his heart on his sleeve, and Mary's milking it for every moment she can. Playing that particular scene on stage, what's that like? It just seems like you could have so much fun with that scene.
Oh my gosh, well, it really has come together with tech, because with the lights down, it's like it's nighttime, and then you hear crickets. They're playing crickets in the background. And you see this being on stage. There was a moment I had where I looked up and he said, what do you want, Mary? You want the moon? And I looked up and I saw this light that was shining down on us, and it looks exactly like the moon from the actor's perspective. So tech has really tied that all together for me, just the technical aspects. It's been really, really cool.
What drew you to audition for this particular role?
I think because again, this whole show puts things into perspective. You know, it makes you realize what's important in life. And at the end, Harry makes a toast to George saying, you know, I'd like to make a toast to my brother, the richest man in Bedford Falls. And he's not rich because he has money. He's rich because he has family and he has love and he has friends that care about him. And everything that, you know, he ever wished for has always been right in front of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what a huge part of it that drew me to this. And, you know, along with just, it's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
It seems like that's a lesson so many of us tend to forget. It seems like we need reminding every year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Christmas gifts, gaily wrapped, all shapes and sizes, hiding their surprises in their bright clothes. Christmas gifts, messengers, each are a reflection of the deep affection Christmas evokes. Some are costly, some are grand, some have traveled far. Some are patiently wrought by hand, or bought with
from a jar. Christmas gifts, large and small, gilding December, helping us remember, bidding us recall.
My guest today here on Midwest Beat has been Allison Sill. She plays Mary Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life at Theater at the Center, running now through December 23rd. Allison, is there anything we have not discussed that you would like to?
I think that's it. I mean, yeah, I'm really excited for this show, and I think we're going to have a really great run.
And again, it runs through the 23rd of December. It's a Wonderful Life, the musical. It runs Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. So you have no reason not to go see it. And theater, of course, at the center is located at 1040 Ridge Road, Munster. Tickets are available at www.theateratthecenter.com. And it's a variety of different times, correct? There's matinees, there's evenings, there's weekends. So there's really, you can see it almost any time you want.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Allison. I do appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Go break a leg.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
I don't need a mansion. One small room will do. I'll have a wonderful life if I have you.
Don't need Persian carpets under my settee. I'll have a wonderful life if you love me.
Who needs a liveried chauffeur in a new Rolls Royce?
If you're with me, a Model T will be a dandy choice.
If the car's too costly, I won't mind the bus. I'll be content whatever we have, long as we both have us.
We'll have a
wonderful life.
Wow, it's awfully hot in here.
Boiling.
You want to go out for a walk?
Thought you'd never ask.
These trips to Paris, Budapest, and Rome. We'll have a wonderful life at home, sweet home.
No majestic staterooms offered by Cunard can match the hammock we'll share in our backyard.
Summers at Saratoga may be out of reach.
Winters may never find us on some Caribbean beach.
Winters will be frozen.
Summers will be fried.
90 above or 20 below, long as we're side by side.
We'll have a wonderful
one.
I don't demand perfection.
I'm not hard to please.
So if we keep it nice and simple, life should be a breeze. You know all my foibles.
You know all my quirks.
Whether it's love or mutual aid, long as the darn thing works,
we'll have a wonderful,
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
Hi, I'm Mindy with Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers.
The Bone Shakers.
This is Midwest Beat with Tom Lounges, a weekly program all about music and the people who make it on the Lakeshore. It covers all styles of music and features live musical guests from the regional and national music scene. You won't want to miss tonight's special musical guest. It's me, Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers. Midwest Beat on the Lakeshore.
Well, it's time to take a look at what happened on this day, November 17th, in music history. On this day, back in 1938, born in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Mr. Gordon Lightfoot.
Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs.
Also celebrating a birthday today, born in 1946, Martin Barr, guitarist of Jethro Tull, who's been a frequent guest on this program. Martin was born in King's Heath, Birmingham, England. And another birthday, back in 1952, Dean Paul Martin of the 60s pop group Dino, Desi, and Billy was born to Dean Martin and his second wife, Jeannie. Sadly, Dino died in 1987 while serving his country. His Air National Guard F-4 Phantom jet fighter crashed into California's San Bernardino Mountains during a snowstorm, killing him and his weapons system officer, Captain Ramon Ortiz.
I'm a
On this day in 1958, one of my favorite folk songs came out, the Kingston Trio's Tom Dooley, and it hit number one in America.
Hang down your hip, Tom Dooley, poor boy, you're bound to die.
Oh, well, now, boy.
Hang down your hip, Tom Dooley, hang down your head and cry.
Oh, well,
hang down your hip, Tom Dooley, poor boy, you're bound to die.
Another great folk singer was born on this day, 1966. Mr. Jeff Buckley was born in Los Angeles, California. Ben Wilson, keyboardist of Blues Traveler, also born on this day in 1967, right here in the toddling town of Chicago. Let It Be, Naked, a stripped-down version of the Beatles' Let It Be album, was released on this day, 2003. That very same year, songwriter and country musician Don Gibson died of natural causes at age 75. Don, of course, remembered for great country standards like Sweet Dreams and I Can't Stop Loving You.
I can't stop loving you, so I've made up my mind.
On a personal note, Don Gibson performed at the opening of Hegwisch Records on US 30 in Merrillville. I was there for the big grand opening. In fact, I worked with Don on that show. What a great man he was. Another death on this day came in 2006 with R&B singer Ruth Brown, who died after suffering a heart attack and a stroke at the age of 78. Ruth is known for 50s hits like So Long, Teardrops from My Eyes, and Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean. We also lost another great R&B star when Jimmy Ruffin of The Temptations died on this day in 2014 in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the age of 78. Of course, we remember him for his solo hit, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted.
Now what becomes of the brokenhearted?
And finally, but certainly not least, we save this for last because it is the anniversary of John Lennon releasing Double Fantasy. Sadly, just a few weeks later, John was shot and killed, and the album quickly went to number one in many countries. But it was on this day that it first shipped to stores, and so many of us were eagerly anticipating Double Fantasy. And after such a long hiatus from the music business, in many ways, it was indeed John Lennon starting over. Let's remember him with his song. Jim Peterick joins us next.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. My no time flies so quickly.
it'll be just like starting over. Starting over.
Every day we used to make it love. Why can't we be making love nice and easy? It's time to spread our wings and fly. Don't let another day go by, my love. It'll be just like starting
starting over. Late great John Lennon. On this day, that album came out, Double Fantasy.